NC State, which are six right there, 6 of 12 significant wins. And I think that's enough to get them at number four, especially if you only have one loss and we're only letting one loss teams in. But one slip up out of these next or the last three games for sure, out of there. They're the easiest team to kick out of there, but they're the team that I'm keeping an eye on because, again, if they can go through the rest of the season undefeated and only come into the postseason with one loss, hey, who's to say that their resume isn't playoffs. Better than anyone else?
Let's talk about playoffs.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the program. This is Gridiron Jabroni, episode number 7. Per usual, I'm your host, Kayfabe Kev, Kevin Duran, at Podcast Kev on Twitter, whatever you want to call me. Call me what you want, just don't call me a bitch, that's what I always say. Sorry, we're just coming off right off the bat with the explicity. Episode 7, guys, we're back for another one. We have a lot. I have a lot on the... Oh, also, do you hear this? That's paper, baby. We're going paperback today. I don't know why. I want to go old school. I want to go paperback. I got the paper notes for the most part. Don't get me wrong. We're still going to use some technology. This is in 1989. Shout out to Taylor Swift. Welcome to the program, guys. Happy 1989 Taylor Swift version. Sorry, the official 1989 Taylor's version release date. It's here. It's here. It's 1989, guys. Look, we're a minute and 45 seconds in and you're going to come at me and you're going to flame me. We're probably not a minute 45. I don't know. We're somewhere in, and you're going to flame me for being hype about the 1989 Taylor's version. Men will admit that they are Taylor Swift fans. Boys will roast Taylor Swift. And then I get it. Once you become a man, you admit you like Taylor Swift. And I'm the person who can admit that I like Taylor Swift, all right? I'm coming right off the bat. We're not even talking about football. We're talking about Taylor Swift, who seems to somehow be involved in football. Men will admit. I'll admit I'm a Taylor Swift fan. And I'll admit she has a banger here and there. I'm not gonna, now don't get me wrong, did I listen to the album this morning? Yeah, it was on my Spotify. I was, you know, getting ready for the morning. I need something to listen to. Open up Spotify, it's right there. Right when I open up Spotify, it doesn't even let me look at the home screen. It just tells me 1989. You know, I say, whatever, dude, I'll listen to it. Is it any different? Am I the fan? Am I the person who can point out all the differences? No, it's really just reminding me of what bangers are on that album. Shake It Off, Bad Blood. Look, you can hate Taylor Swift all you want, but player's gonna play, and haters gonna hate. You just gotta shake it off. Whoa. Just like Taylor said, she has some motivation, some motivational quotes. Taylor is some good pump up music, honestly. If I was a batter, like in the MLB, and I was on a cold streak, I would just start walking up to Shake It Off. Whatever. Happy 1989 day. I'm using paper. We have a lot on the slate. We're not going to talk about Taylor Swift for 20 minutes today. We'll start. Do you want me to talk about wrestling? I'm not going to. LA Knight, Roman Reigns. Universal Championship, that's going to be a squash match, and I think we all know that. There's a lot of development going on in wrestling. I'm more devoted to football season right now. Survivor Series coming up, we'll keep up with that a little bit. I don't think I'm going to have segments for wrestling right now, though. there's not enough going on that can I can take I have time for, honestly. Just follow me on social media. I'll be more active with wrestling on social media as far as like X and Twitter. I don't want to promise you I'm going to ever talk about wrestling for the next few weeks at least. Roman Reigns, LA Knight, Survivor Series coming up. Not much else to talk about. So on the slate for today, we have the Heisman Watch, which I did last week. I'm going to do this week. A lot is, not a lot, but a good amount has changed. Playoff potentials for the college football season, where we're getting around that time. I'm going to talk about the teams that I think are going to be playoff potentials, essentially, who are going to be there, who are remaining, who's left, who has a shot at the playoffs, because there's not a lot of teams left at this point. We'll talk about playoffs in general, the divisions, the conferences, who's had the best luck as far as playoffs in the past. And then I'll talk about some conference championship early predictions. Just want to go through that, talk about really early predictions. A lot can change. There's still a lot of good games left. Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, Kansas, Alabama, LSU. Those games can really shake up the conference championship. So obviously these are really early predictions. And then we'll move on to the NFL. I'm going to talk some kind of how we're doing the Heisman watch in college football. I want to talk some rookie of the year watch, some previews on that, maybe some MVP watch, and then talk about a little bit about what we missed last week. Really just kind of a dud of a match that I missed, that I can't really put my finger on, like who, maybe these were just really two really good teams and one of them just looked like ass. And then I am going to, got to turn notifications off on my phone. That's embarrassing. Then we're going to do some conference races. There's a lot of divisions, like the AFC East, the NFC South, that I want to talk about as far as like how close they are and how competitive they have been. That is the sound of today's energy drink, Arctic Vibe. This isn't even a sponsorship. I just didn't want it to sound like I'm cracking open a beer, considering I'm recording at like 8 in the morning. I'm just hooked on Celsius. I don't know what it is about them. I don't know if anyone's going to talk about this. Northwestern State, I didn't really look into it. I kind of wrote it down when I saw about it. They canceled their football season. Northwestern State has canceled their football season after a player dies. I think they're going to investigate it, obviously. But a player dies, the coach resigns, and then they cancel the whole football season. It's a little sketchy. I think that's something I'm going to look into and talk more about in the next episode. I just want to point that out because that is kind of breaking news as far as, like, it's a big deal, and I think it's going to kind of get swept under the rug in major media because there's – Northwestern State isn't a big team, kind of like when Maryland had a player die. That's scary, and it kind of got swept under the rug because Maryland isn't a huge team. But I did want to point that out. That is a pretty big story. I don't know. I didn't look into it. It's a little suspicious that the coach resigns. The football, could foul play be at play? Is the question that I will look into and investigate for us for the next episode for Ocho. Let's move on to the first segment, Heisman Watch. Last week, I kind of had the same guys, but this is a different order. I kind of have them ranked in this order now, how I see it coming. Number one, I saw Michael Penix Jr., Washington quarterback. Everyone knows who Michael Penix is. Even though he had that sloppy performance last week against Arizona State, Arizona State is a 1-6 team. A 1-6 team and 15-7 win over a 1-16 is not ideal as far as Washington goes. They're number 5, I believe, in the country right now. You shouldn't be winning like that. But you have Oklahoma who barely beat UCF. You have Alabama who struggled in a lot of their games. So is it a big deal? Maybe not. However, Michael Penix was 27 for 42 with 275 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions on that game against Arizona State Saturday. On the season, Michael Penix has 2,576 yards, 20 touchdowns, and five interceptions. He's leading the Washington Huskies to 7-0. As far as right now, they got that big win over Oregon. They're on the path to the college football playoffs. As long as they can keep doing what they're doing, they do have a kind of a gauntlet towards the end of the season. So that might be a test for him. This is his second game of the season with no passing touchdowns, which, you know, it's hard to justify a Heisman quarterback who doesn't throw passing touchdowns. And I mean, he's on record for four of the 12 games, you know, only eight games where he throws a touchdown is not a good look for a Heisman like quarterback. You know, I don't think a Heisman quarterback should have four games with no touchdowns. So, but regardless, Michael Penix right now is my number one Heisman quarterback. I think in the country, he's the favorite to win it. I don't disagree. He's looking like the best quarterback as far as like consistency and only five interceptions with 20 touchdowns. That's a what? 4-1 ratio, 4 TDs to 1 touchdown. Yeah. Or 4 TDs to 1 interception ratio right now, which is an amazing ratio to have. Number two, I have J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. He hasn't really – I wrote J.J. McCarthy out of Washington. Obviously, I knew Michigan. Everyone knows who J.J. McCarthy is. He hasn't really played anybody. Everyone says that. But he had a huge performance against his rival Michigan State last week. They had a 49-0 shutout win over them. J.J. McCarthy was benched in the third quarter. Of the three quarters he played, he was 21 for 27, 287 yards, four touchdowns, and no interceptions. On the season, he has 71% completion rating. Let me repeat that. On the season, he has a 71% completion rating. This is only through eight games. A lot of people say it's only through eight games. I say it's over eight games. Like, that's eight games, and 71% is impressive. He only has 1,800 yards, 1,799 to be specific, on the year, 18 touchdowns and three interceptions. He is starting to play the harder teams. You know, he still has Ohio State at the end of the year. So I think that McCarthy, again, is kind of on the right path. I think if he beats Ohio State, that'll jump him over Michael Penix. But for now, because he hasn't really played anybody, while Penix and Washington have that win over Oregon, that's going to put him above J.J. McCarthy. So McCarthy will sit comfortably at two. As long as he stays consistent and doesn't, you know, have a bad game, he should stay at number two. And then, like I said, a win over Ohio State will put him at number one. Number three, I actually don't have a quarterback. I have Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the biggest factor of Ohio State right now. He is the sole reason, and I'll say this till the day I die. I mean, no one's really going to debate me on this, but I'll die on this hill. He's the reason that they beat Penn State. The only reason they beat Penn State. I think both of those teams are evenly matched. I think the only difference is that Ohio State had Marvin Harrison. I'm not calling him Maserati Marv. I love Gus. I love Gus Johnson, but I'm not calling him Maserati Marv. Everyone's talking about it because he just kept saying Maserati Marv, Maserati Marv. And don't get me wrong, he is a great wide receiver, and I'm an avid Ohio State hater. Like, I'm a vocalist. I don't know what the word is. I'm an avid speaker about how much I hate Ohio State. But I'll admit, Marvin Harrison is a different man. That is a different receiver. But, like, don't force a – that's like when a guy tries to force a nickname. That's literally what he's doing, is he's forcing a nickname. That's like when – that's like if some guy was trying to, like, force, like, you know, call me a, you know, Fast Hands McGee. Maserati. And someone's like, hey, Joe, come here. And he's like, nah, it's Fast – you mean Fast Hands McGee? Like, no one's going to fuck you. You mean Fast Hands? Hey, Joe, give me hands. Who's Joe? Who's Joe? Oh, you mean Fast Hands McGee? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I'm thinking about it. That's, you know, you're forcing a nickname. Marvin Harrison looks great, and Gus was like, who? He's like, you know, Marvin Harrison. He's like, I don't know who Marvin is. Who's that? And everyone's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Maserati Marv looks great. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Maserati Marv. I never understood why people didn't like Gus Johnson. And now I understand. I'm starting to understand. That was really cringy. Regardless, Maserati Marv was the biggest factor in that Penn State win. And is not, like, 100% undoubtedly the number one receiver in the NCAA right now. 162 yards over Penn State. And on the year, he has 42 receptions, 766 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Number one receiver in no comparison. But the odds of receiver winning the Heisman are slim to none. This is basically a quarterback award. Those are the big three I have right now. Outside of that, Jordan Travis from Florida State, slim shot, but Florida State is a sneaky 7-0. Have the highest odds to go to the ACC championship, win the ACC championship. They pretty much should. I mean, it's theirs to lose. Jordan Travis had 286 yards versus Duke. This is his fourth game with 250 yards. No, like, everyone was talking about Michael Penix. Four games with 250 yards, 1,750 yards in the season, 15 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He's not throwing touchdowns left and right, but he's only throwing 2 picks. Just as many yards as J.J. McCarthy, 7-0. But he also has the best chance of failing. Could lose in the ACC championship. Could lose, slip up and lose one close. But if he doesn't, if he continues to have that underdog story, I think Jordan Travis is the biggest underdog to win the Heisman. Other than that, I think everyone else is kind of out of the race. Or unless one of these four slip up, those are the main four that we should worry about. I have other ones that I think can only come in if the other one of the four, you know, slip up. Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma, he's had some bad performances, though. UCF is that one that everyone talks about. He did beat Texas, though. They continue to win out, and again, you get a bad game from one of the three quarterbacks. Expect Dylan Gabriel to come up there. Caleb Williams from USC, pretty much out of the race considering he's had 2 bad games and he's had 2 losses already. But again, a small slip-up could lead to us hearing about him in the top four. Jaden Daniels, I don't believe in at all. People are bringing him up. I don't believe in the LSU hype. I don't believe in the Jaden Daniels hype. Again, I've always been off on Jaden Daniels. Somehow he's getting brought up. We forget about that awful performance against Florida State. I expect him to lose one or two more. He won't beat Alabama. He'll eventually fall out of the talks again. And Brian Kelly will be back on the hot seat. Again, the big one I'm circling is Drake May. But he had the Virginia loss was terrible. I really, you know, had to bite my tongue. I was heavy on the North Carolina train. As soon as I hop on, we crash. It hurt. That one hurt. Drake May still looks good. Drake May is not a problem. I don't know what happened there. The defense looked god awful. They have no defense. I think everyone knows that about North Carolina, though. They don't really have a good defense. Their offense is the only reason they're winning games. And it was obvious that their offense fumbled. Their offense fumbled and the defense couldn't carry. And I mean, that's why North Carolina is always around, but they're never in the top contention because of that reason, you know? I don't know. I'm hurt by it. I finally hop on a bandwagon and we get shit on real quick. Regardless, Drake May is still I think he's still the top quarterback heading into the draft this year. I think he's the most NFL ready. I'm still high on the Drake May bandwagon, not necessarily North Carolina bandwagon. But maybe he can keep up the good performance. Maybe we see him in the ACC championship. Maybe he beats Florida State in the championship, changes some things up. That's my Heisman talk, though. Those are the main quarterbacks. I think those are that should be everybody you're going to hear about this year. There's nobody else that's going to come up out of nowhere. I don't think we're going to see a running back or any other receivers. It's just going to be quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison. Maserati Marv. Yeah, I think that's about all you're going to hear. Everyone else, it's really just who's going to fall out of that race until we get five. And I think the next one to fall out is obviously Jaden Daniels, followed by, I don't know, maybe... Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and I think Dylan Gabriel will fall out. And then we'll be left with Penix, McCarthy, Harrison, Jordan Travis, and Drake May as the final five, if that matters. Moving on to what I have the most, like, I want to talk about. Playoff potentials and some just misses of the past. I have them all. I broke it down by the Power Five, because there is about, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I have 14 teams that I think are left in contention for the national championship, and we're gonna break it down by Power Five and talk about it. Let's start. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but you'll understand when we get into it. We're starting with the Pac-12 and starting with the team that I think has the best shot in the Pac-12 of making the playoffs, and that's Washington, because they're the only undefeated Pac-12 team left. We talked about Michael Penix Jr. They have that big win over Oregon a couple weeks ago, which you can argue was only by a field goal. It was a game field goal winning. It wasn't a dominating win. A win is a win is a win is a win is a win. Is a win 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 is a win. A win over Oregon, a win over top 10 Oregon, the second best team in the Pac-12, is still impressive. It's regardless of how you beat them, you beat them. However, the cons of Washington is that you struggled with Arizona State, who was 1-6. And you struggled with Arizona, who was also awful. And you barely beat Oregon, but you struggled with these two teams. You still have USC at USC. You still have to play Utah at home. And then you still have to play Oregon State at Oregon State. Remember that Oregon State has an upset win over one of these other two teams that I have in the Pac-12. That we'll talk about later. So Oregon State already has that impressive win earlier in the season. USC has a great offense, no defense. If Washington's defense slips up, which I don't think they will, I think Washington has a great defense. I think they shouldn't slip up against USC, but that is one that if it happened, I wouldn't be the most surprised. And then Utah is Utah. You got to be worried about Utah, regardless if it's home or away. I think you're better off that Utah's home, because I think if you played Utah at night, you're losing that game. But you're home against Utah, it'll probably be a night game, so you should have that advantage. The home field advantage is important in this one. Washington, I still think, has the best shot of the Pac-12, though, to make it to the playoffs. In the past, in 2016, they were number 4. They made it to the playoffs. They've made it to the playoffs once before. And then 3 times they've been in the top 15, but never like close, just missed. 2018, they were number 9. 2017, they finished number 11. And last year, they finished number 12. Generally speaking, I mean, they've had a couple bad seasons here and there. Last few years, they've always been in the top 15. They've always, you know, always been in contention. One of the top teams in the Pac-12, just never the top team in the Pac-12. I think the two other teams I have from the Pac-12, the reason I think Washington has a better shot of these two other teams is that there is a very good shot that these two other teams are going to eliminate each other this year or this week, and that's Utah and Oregon. Starting with Utah, sitting at 6-1 with a loss at Oregon State. They lost against Oregon State at Oregon State probably like a month ago. And remember, Oregon State plays Washington the second to last week. So that is important that they remember. Oregon State has already has a win over a top Pac-12 team. And not saying that they're a playoff team, but But Oregon State is a Pac-12 championship team. So a win over Washington is important to think about. Let's not forget about that. And but we're back to Utah. Utah has a 6-1 loss with a loss against Oregon State. However, they have Kyle Whittingham, who I think is Coach of the Year. Kyle Whittingham is the best coach that no one talks about. And what he's doing at Utah is impressive, and I'm very impressed with Kyle Whittingham. No Cam Rising. Starting quarterback Cam Rising is going to be done for the season. Backup quarterback has been, you know, putting in the work. They're fine without Cam Rising. They're fine without Cam Rising, which is impressive. Imagine if they had Cam Rising, I think they'd be the only team to talk about in the Pac-12. Currently sitting at number 13, and they host number 8 Oregon this week. And they still have they still have Washington at Washington left to play. So you're hosting number 8 Oregon. You still have to play number 5 Washington. It's a rough. You're losing one of these, and you would hope that. I don't know. I want to argue for Utah, but you're losing one of these, and you can't. You're not going to make it to playoffs, and that's unless Washington fumbles hard somewhere down the line. That's not. Unless they upset Washington, you have to win both of these. You have to win both of these to make the playoffs. And I think Utah has a chance. But it's rough. You can beat Oregon. I don't think you can beat. I don't think you can beat Washington at Washington. You could beat Washington at Utah. Utah could beat Washington at home, but they cannot beat Washington. And I said that earlier. I know I'm like, this is one of the most exciting games in the future and like the end of the season that I'm excited about is Utah and Washington. In the past, Utah has. To 2019, they were number 11. 2021, they were number 11. 2022, they were number 8. Never really been a just-missed team. Never made the playoffs. But they've always been, like, the last few years, they've been there. You know what I'm saying? They've been close. They've just never been there. They have the second-best chance at making the playoffs in the Pac-12. And then Oregon, they're 6-1 as well. They have a loss to Washington. They're sitting at number 8. But they have to win out. They have to win out. I think they have that. They played Utah this week. You got to win out, and you have to win the Pac-12. You have to beat Washington again, which is a rough. You still have to play Oregon State at the end of the year. You have to win out. You have to beat Utah. You have to beat Oregon State. You have to beat Washington. That's a lot of ifs. One or two ifs is okay, but if you beat Oregon, if you beat Washington, if you beat Utah, if you beat Oregon State, if you win the Pac-12 championship, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't be, I'd still probably be podcasting. I think I would be podcasting more with $1 million. That's not the point. The point is Oregon has the worst shot of the three. But technically, it's still hanging on. By next week, I don't think we'll be talking about Oregon anymore. Honorable mentions here. Not saying if I'm just saying if Oregon has a shot, Oregon State might have a shot. It's a long shot. It's a Cincinnati shot. But hey, they beat Utah. They could beat Washington. What if they beat Oregon State? Or what if they beat Oregon? They got a Tagovailoa. Sorry, I can't pronounce the name. Tua number 2. They got Tua 2 at quarterback. They have the best chance of upsetting everybody. Not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying let the record show they've already beat one of the big three, and they have the other two coming up. If they do it, don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I didn't warn you. Just saying. Oregon State, I didn't have them as one of the big 13. I'm just saying they're still not in, but they're in. They're just as much in as Oregon. I think if you're doing like who's first out is Oregon, second out is Oregon State. Just saying. The Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma are the only two I have in the Big 12 left for playoff contention. Texas, Oregon State, Oregon, Texas. That's the bottom. Like, that's how I'm ranking it. Because Texas lost Quinn Ewers. They have lost to Oklahoma. They should roll into the Big 12 championship fine. Like, I think Vegas is going to give them all the favorites. They're going to be favorites for the rest of the season. They should roll in to the Big 12 championship just fine. They should be favorites into every game. Are they going to? Probably not. They play BYU this week. They're home for that one. They only play like one road game a year, and that's in Dallas. They should beat BYU. However, BYU is 5-2. They are sneaky good. They've never been a just out team. I think that's important to remember. They have that not. They got saved. They had that win over Houston last week, which literally makes no sense at all. If it was the other way around, if you don't know what happened, what was it, 4th and 2? Houston at they're in the red zone, 4th and 2. They need a touchdown to win. About, 50 seconds left. Houston runs it. The running back gets 3 yards until he gets met by a wall, pushed back 2 yards, and then they spot the ball at where the pile got pushed back to. The play got called dead when he got 3 yards and hit the wall of just defenders. But they called it behind 2 yards back where he got pushed to. So basically it was a 4th and 1. Or sorry, it was a turnover on downs. Now remember, you can't challenge that. Because it's less than 2 minutes, so only they can only challenge it. They review it. It's a 4th down, so they're gonna review it. Do they go to the booth? Do they go look at the replay? No. They just discuss it. Discuss it, call it down, call it the spot of the foul, bring out the chains. They call it at the wrong spot, then bring out the chains to prove that it's the wrong spot. Which makes no freaking sense. You literally have a camera showing you where he, like, a perfect angle of where he got, and you don't even go to the booth. You don't even, not saying Houston was going to win it, because you still had a 1st and 10 at your 15 with the Texas defense. I'm not saying Houston had a shot, not the best. Houston wasn't going to win it. Not saying they were going to win it, but you didn't even give him a chance. If that was Texas, you would have spent 20 minutes reviewing that. Texas was handed a win from an upset that they should have taken. They should have had that loss. Or I'm saying Houston should have beat them. I don't like Dana Holgorsen at all. I think they should fire him. But Houston should have won that one. Sarkisian should be on the hot seat. And I'm not. I can go. You know, y'all know I hate Texas. I can go on this rant forever. But Texas, they're gonna lose somewhere. They should lose somewhere. But it's their Big 12 championship appearance to lose. They should roll into the Big 12 championship. However, you got to play Oklahoma again if you do that, probably. And Oklahoma, who I have, the other team I have in the Big 12 that has the best shot of making the playoffs, has multiple appearances in the playoffs, is undefeated. The only scary win was against UCF, which you still beat them. You have a Heisman contending quarterback. You play a pretty weak schedule so far, but you've beat Texas. They play Kansas this week, which Kansas isn't great. 5-2, I think. But hey, they're in there. They got to play Oklahoma State at the end of the year at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is heating up. That running back is insane. At BYU, you got to play BYU at BYU. Let's see how they play. We'll see how BYU is on how they play Texas this week. That could be another game to circle as a question mark. I think this Oklahoma State, you don't play Kansas State, which Texas plays Kansas State, and I think Kansas State could upset Texas. Oklahoma State could upset Oklahoma. It's one of those things, you know. I think Kansas, if they dominate Kansas, they should dominate Oklahoma State and BYU. If Kansas is a close game this week, I think Oklahoma State is a loss, and I think Oklahoma State could be a loss. BYU could be a depending on how BYU plays against Texas. So it really just depends on how everything shapes out this week, on how I see these two teams. I think Oklahoma does have the best shot, though, to make the playoffs, because in the past, 2015, they were number 4. 2016, they were number 7. 2017, they finished at number 2. 2018, they finished at number 4. 2019, they finished at number 4. 2020, they finished at number 6. You know, they've always been there. The last 2 years, they haven't really been there. But the committee, the playoff committee, loves Oklahoma. They love to suck Oklahoma's PP. And, you know, Oklahoma, even if they lose one, I could still see them in the playoffs over Texas. Moving on to Michigan, the Big Ten, I have Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, starting with the team I think who has the worst chance of making the playoffs, and that's Penn State, only because Penn State already has a loss to Ohio State, and you got to play Michigan. I don't think they can beat Michigan. If you can't beat Ohio State, you can't beat Michigan, because it's really process of elimination. Sorry, you don't play Michigan. Oh, wait a minute. Timeout. You lost to Ohio State. I still don't think, I don't think it'll matter, because the loss to Ohio State will keep them out of the Big Ten Championship, because I think Ohio State and Penn, which I'll talk about later, but I don't want to expose my, all right, here we go. Let's start over. Penn State, not playoff. They won't make the playoffs simply because you lost to Ohio State, but they have the best shot. If somewhere down the line, maybe Michigan gets upset by somebody, Ohio State loses another one and loses to Michigan. Penn State's the only one, you know, there's a lot of ifs. Again, a lot of ifs, but they're still in contention. I keep bringing this up. Oregon State, Oregon, Texas, probably Penn State right now, because there's some other teams that we'll update later. So in the past, Penn State really hasn't had a lot of luck as far as last team. In 2016, they were the first team out at number 5. 2018, they were number 12. 2019, they were number 10. 2017, they were 9, but last year they were number 11. They've always been like top 15-ish, but never, only once have they been the first one out. And it's because of these two teams, Ohio State, Penn State, the reason they haven't been in. Penn State, I think, has the second, Ohio State has the second best shot of making the playoffs. They have the best history. They are basically like Oklahoma when it comes to the committee loves them. Let's read off their accomplishments. 2014, they finished at number 4. 2015, they finished at number 7. 2016, they finished at number 3. 2017, they finished at number 5. 2018, they finished at number 6. 2019, they finished at number 2. 2020, they finished at number 3. 2021, they finished at number 6. And last year, they finished at number 4. So that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 appearances since 2014. Yeah, 5 appearances since 2014 in the playoffs. The committee loves them. The only thing that'll keep them out, I think they'll be a first team out, is Michigan. And I think Michigan will get the upset over them. Again, the only reason they beat Penn State is because of Marvin Harrison. I think they have the tougher schedule of Michigan and Penn State. You play Wisconsin at Wisconsin this week. It's a night game. A night game in Wisconsin, a lot of people, casuals, won't understand. That's a big game. That's a hard game. It's a rough game. Wisconsin home field advantage. I'm not saying Ohio State will get upsetted. Ohio State is currently a 15-point favorite, 14.5. But that's a rough one. And then you have Michigan at Michigan at the end of the year, which, I mean, that's the one I think they're going to lose. Might keep them out of the Big Ten Championship. Maybe you'll see them again. I don't really know. We'll talk about it in a little bit. I don't know. We'll talk about it. But the point is, Michigan, that win against Ohio State will put Michigan in. Michigan does not have a great history of playoffs. 2016, they finished at number 6. 2017, they finished at number 7. 2019, they finished at number 14. And then last year, they finished at number 2 and then got upsetted by TCU. However, I think Michigan has the best shot. Ohio State will definitely be a first team out. Penn State is definitely one of those teams that we probably won't be talking about in 2 weeks. Florida State and North Carolina, I have in the ACC. Florida State, there's nothing to really explain. Florida State, I've said, Jordan Travis, they have the easiest path in the ACC to the ACC championship. As long as they can just kind of coast into the ACC championship and beat whoever they have to play, which we will talk about, we should see them in the playoffs. In the past, I think they made it to the first ever playoffs in 2014 at number 3. I think that is – did they win that one? I don't know. 2015, they were at number 9, and then last year they finished at number 13. For the rest of the season, I know they have to play. For the rest of the season, they have Wake Forest this week, which they should win. They're 20.5 favorites. You have Miami at home, though. That could be a difference maker depending on the time on that one. And then Florida at the end of the year. All of these, Florida State should be favored. They should. I mean, they may not beat the spread, but they should win. I feel like Florida State should have the easiest coasting or the easiest path. You don't play North Carolina. And I think they're lucky for that because North Carolina had that slip up. But all right, here's the new rankings. Ready? Oregon State, Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Oregon State, Oregon, Texas, North Carolina, Penn State. Because you lost to Virginia. Embarrassing loss. An upset loss. Equivalent to A&M losing to Appalachian State last year. Because Virginia was 2-1 and 1-5 at the time. 31-27 loss. You should beat Georgia Tech, but Georgia Tech always gives them a struggle. You have to play Duke, Clemson, and NC State, which I said in previous episodes is a gauntlet. They have the hardest test, but if they can get through the rest of the season undefeated and win the ACC championship, I think their resume should get them into number 4. I think they'll be the last team in because you'll have a win over Duke, a win over Miami, a win over South Carolina, a win over Florida State, a win over Clemson, and a win over NC State, which are six of 12 significant wins. And I think that's enough to get them at number 4, especially if you only have one loss, and we're only letting one loss teams in. But one slip up out of these last three games for sure, out of there. They're the easiest team to kick out of there, but they're the team that I'm keeping an eye on because, again, if they can go through the rest of the season undefeated and only come into the postseason with one loss, hey, who's to say that their resume isn't better than anyone else's? In the past, North Carolina was number 10 at number 20 in 2015, and 2018 they were number 13. They've never really been close to the playoffs, but I think they have a shot. I think they have as just as good a shot as Oregon. And a lot of people are putting Oregon in there. I'm just saying. SEC, the final four teams. We'll go to the first two teams that I think are going to eliminate themselves. Only mentioning LSU because everyone else is mentioning LSU. LSU currently is sitting at 6-2. The only team that I think the committee will ever put that's a two-loss team because they play Alabama this week, but they're in Alabama. All right, new rankings. You ready? LSU, Oregon State, Oregon, Texas, North Carolina, Penn State. Because LSU should lose this one. If they don't, they have Florida. If they somehow go into the next three, they win the next three, You're gonna play A&M, you should lose that one. Do you have three of them that they should lose? Alabama's only a 5-point favorite, but I think LSU was overhyped. I think LSU has no defense, and they've gotten lucky in the last few weeks. And not even lucky, like they're barely winning. And I think everyone knows they have no defense. You played Auburn and you beat them impressively, which, all right, I'll give you that one. But you beat Army 62-0. You're dogged on the U.S. Army. Congratulations, you fucking communist. You know, you lost to Ole Miss, who we'll talk about in a second, who also has no defense. You barely beat Arkansas by a field goal. You lost to Florida State, who I think, again, we'll talk about in a little bit, or we talked about earlier. They're not going to make it. They're just in the talk because everyone loves to talk about LSU. They're in the talk because the media loves LSU. But I have them on my list because everyone else has them on their fucking list. In 2018, they're at number 11. 2019, they won the whole thing at number 1. 22, they finished at 17. I don't see them going in there. Ole Miss, same thing. A lot of people have them in the talks right now because they beat LSU. But you lost to Alabama already. Currently sitting at, what are they ranked? Number 12. You play Vanderbilt. You're 6-1. You're a one-loss team. Your only loss coming from Alabama. You did beat LSU, but you got to play Georgia. You got to play A&M still. I know A&M isn't that impressive, but I don't know, man. I just don't see it. I think you slip up against either A&M or Georgia. That's a back-to-back. If you don't slip up against A&M, those are two back-to-back games where you're playing like dominant defenses. You're going to for sure lose to Georgia. Just don't know if you're going to lose to A&M too. But as soon as they lose to Georgia, they should be out because you have Bama, who I think is the second-best team. Oh, Ole Miss, they've never been close to the playoffs. 2015, they're at number 12. 2021, they're at number 8. It's about as close as they've ever been. Alabama, I think I have as the second. They should win the West. They should sweep the rest of the season. They play LSU. If you can get through this week and prove to everybody that LSU is frauds, that Lincoln Riley is, sorry. I mean, Lincoln Riley is a fraud too. But if you can prove that Brian Kelly's a fraud, Jane Daniels a fraud, Alabama's starting to turn it up. What they did to Tennessee in the second half was impressive. What they did to A&M in the second half was impressive. They're a second-half team, and I think you should win that one. It should be Kentucky. You should beat Auburn. Coasting into the West Championship. And if they don't beat Georgia, they'll be number 4 because the committee loves Alabama. 2014, they were number 1. 2015, they were number 2. 2016, they were number 1. 2017, they were number 4. 2018, they were number 1. 2019, they had 2 losses. They were 13. 2020, they were number 1. 2021, they were number 1. 2022, last year, they were first team out, and I know the committee hated to do that to them, but that's just what happened. They should be, if they lose to Georgia, they should still be in there. However, the team that I think should easily go in at number 1 is Georgia. Do we have to talk about it? There shouldn't be an argument about it. Let's look up the Georgia Bulldogs' rest of the season schedule. I didn't even really look it up because they're just good. They play Florida, should win. Missouri, question mark game. I don't know. Missouri's pretty good. 7-1, sneaky good. But Missouri should lose that one, especially because they're at Georgia. Ole Miss, you're at Georgia for that one too. Georgia should win that one. At Tennessee, question mark. No, I don't think Tennessee's. I think Tennessee got exposed. They don't have a good defense. They got good players. They don't have a great team. I don't know if that makes sense. And then you should coast into the East Championship. Same thing as I said as Alabama. Like whoever wins should go in at number 1. No, if Georgia wins, they'll stay at number 1. If they lose, they'll drop to number 3. Not a big deal. You'll have Alabama at 4, Georgia at 3, so they don't play each other. That makes sense. Those two teams should definitely be in, unless there's a slip up along the way. But yeah, that's where I have it. If you really think about it, the only for sure teams, here's a list basically: Oregon, Washington. Technically, here's a list: Oregon, Washington, Utah, Oregon State, Texas, Oklahoma, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Florida State, North Carolina, Bama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, Missouri. That's the long list of who I have as contenders. If we're being real, Washington, Oklahoma, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Georgia, Bama. those are the teams that are left in contention in the playoffs, and some just misses that a lot of people don't talk about. We don't talk about how much the committee, like, they're, look at the past and look at their resume, and that should tell you who's in and who's not, which is a sad world we live in, because, hey, why can't we just forget what the teams have done in the past? But it does matter in the long run. Moving on, we are almost at an hour, and we haven't even hit the NFL, which is crazy. I told y'all we have a lot to talk about. I might keep this. We might have to just keep this out of college only, our college only episode, which I don't mind, because when it comes to betting, I was awful in the NFL. First off, if you followed me this weekend, if you ran with me, if you rode with me, you're welcome. You're welcome. I will talk about it later, but you're welcome. Great week, 8-5. And it was only that bad because of the NFL. I dominated this weekend in college football. It was insane. We're wasting time. Conference championships, real quick, my previews. Let's start with the Big 12 I talked about earlier. It should be Oklahoma and Texas. It should be Oklahoma and Texas. Possible sneaking teams, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Iowa State. All those teams are sitting at 5-2, 3-1 in the Big 12. Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Kansas State slip-ups, only major slip-up was against Missouri. And that's a non-conference one. As far as Oklahoma State, they had a bad start. Mike Gundy did not look good, but they're starting to look good. They're starting to look great. That running game is looking dominating. If they can upset Oklahoma, if Kansas can upset, Kansas State can upset Texas, if Oklahoma State can upset Oklahoma, they're flip-flop. One of those teams will be in. I think that's how it works. I think that Texas should be out depending on if Kansas State or Oklahoma State can get an upset. It can get an upset. Iowa State, I think they're in the conversation right now. Probably won't be in. Same thing with Kansas. Probably won't be in a few weeks. There's a lot of 5-2 teams left, though, in the Big 12. ACC, right now it's looking like, technically right now it's looking like Louisville, Florida State. I see North Carolina, Florida State. Florida State for sure. I think Louisville, they're 3-1. Right now, they're 6-1 with a loss to Notre Dame in the season. I'm an idiot. They lost to Pitt last week. They got upsetted. But I was never on the Louisville hype. A lot of people were on that Louisville train. Choo-choo. Nope, wasn't me. Never really believed in Louisville. They're sitting at 18 right now. Yeah, Virginia Tech this week. Yeah, Florida at Florida at the end of the year. Kentucky. They could lose one of the two at the end of the year, Florida or Kentucky. I don't know. I see Louisville slip. You slipped up to Pitt. I think you'll slip up to Duke. Oh, you have Duke. Oh, no, sorry. You have Duke this week. And then Virginia Tech next week. Yeah, you'll lose to Duke. You should lose to Florida. That'll be two more conference losses. Louisville end up, they'll end up in the Outback Bowl. We'll forget about them until next year. Duke already has two losses, like regular season losses. I'll see them slipping up. I think North Carolina should coast in. Florida State should coast in. And we'll see that in the ACC championship. SEC, we'll see the same thing as usual. Georgia, Alabama. I think LSU will eliminate themselves this week against Alabama. Ole Miss already got eliminated through Alabama. I think if Alabama wins this week, if Alabama wins this week, they're in the SEC West championship. So we'll see Alabama. I think Georgia should coast in. Nothing surprising. Same as usual. Big Ten championship is a different story. I don't know. That's a toss up. In the East should be Michigan. The West I think is the most competitive right now because they're all pretty bad. Wisconsin, plays Ohio State this week. Luckily, it's not a Big Ten East game, but it is a conference game. You might lose that one. Let's look at the rest of the season for Wisconsin. You should beat Indiana. You should beat Northwestern. You might slip up against Nebraska or Minnesota. Minnesota is 4-3 on the season, 2-2 on the season in conference play. Same thing with Nebraska. You already played Iowa and you lost. However, Iowa has two conference losses. I don't know. It could be Iowa. It could be Wisconsin. I think it should be Michigan, barring a loss. My prediction, Michigan and Wisconsin again. West Michigan. I don't know. Whoever wins the East, the West is going to get dominated. Whoever wins the East is winning the Big Ten is the point. I'm going to say Wisconsin. I'm going to say Michigan. It could be Iowa, Ohio State for all we know. Could be Minnesota, Michigan. I don't know. The West is a mess. The East is competitive with only three teams. Yeah, that's it. That's, yeah. Big 12, I said. ACC, I said. SEC, I said. Pac-12, probably going to end up being Washington, Oregon again. Could be Oregon State, Washington. Could be. For all we know, I mean, I think right now it's the standings are Washington, USC. USC should lose another one or two conference games. Washington should go in at undefeated. Oregon should, it's either going to be Oregon State or Oregon, depending on really who wins that end of the year game, because Washington should have a win over Oregon State and Oregon. Could be Utah. I don't know. And Utah. They should have a win over all those teams already. Should. But it just depends on who wins against Oregon State, Oregon, and Utah, Oregon State. Or no, really, really depends on Oregon State, Oregon. Because if Oregon State beats Oregon, it'll be Washington. All right, Mike, there you go. I have it right there. I just figured it out. Washington, Oregon State, that's your Pac-12 championship. I'm calling it right now. Upset alert, upset alert. That's conference championships. And that's college football. That's my college football talk. That was a lot, guys. I put y'all through a lot right there. I put y'all through the ringer. Jesus. Do we want to bang? Ooh, Let's talk rookie of the year MVP real quick before I move on to bets and wrap up the episode. I was going to talk divisional matchups. Or like divisional races, the NFC South. Let's see what I had written down. I had the NFC South, I had the AFC East, and I had the AFC North. I had those divisions to watch for. Let's go rookie of the year real quick. Talk some candidates and who's interesting so far. So far, I got Zay Flowers. I have him as interesting. Devon Achane would have been in there if he didn't get hurt. Bijan Robinson's looking pretty good so far. Through the year, he has two touchdowns, 404 yards. Jordan Addison has been a playmaker for Washington. 400 yards and six touchdowns. Puka Nacua has been getting a lot of talk with the Rams. Two touchdowns? Not really. Like, he's not impressive. He's just getting a lot of talk. I think Rookie of the Year isn't a quarterback battle as much as the Heisman is, but C.J. Stroud has been the most impressive rookie quarterback. He's been the most consistent. Only one interception on the year, a 96.4 QBR. Right now, I think he's Rookie of the Year. It really just depends on how his play is. Everyone else has kind of been good. They've had sparks. Sam Laporta from the Lions, a great tight end. An impressive tight end, but against sparks, he's had some flashes in the pan. I don't think he's enough to call Rookie of the Year. The only one I think who has numbers that prove that show Rookie of the Year will be C.J. Stroud. Could have been Anthony Richardson, bar if he didn't get hurt. Yeah, that's Rookie of the Year talk. summed up in like 2 minutes. MVP watch right now. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, the major name. Like, the thing about the season is it's kind of boring as far as like who the good people are good, and there's not a lot of people rising up. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. I think Tua. Right now, the odds sit at Patrick Mahomes is the favorite at plus 275. Tua is at plus 450. Jalen Hurts at plus 500. Lamar Jackson at 650. After that, it's kind of Brock Purdy at 1,400, but Brock has kind of fallen off. Josh Allen at 1,500. He's had some bad games. Trevor Lawrence, 2,000, plus 2,000. He may be the only one that I would keep an eye on, but he's had some bad games too. That's it. Jared Goff is looking good this season. I wouldn't say he's rookie of the year. I'm sorry, MVP. I don't know if he could be not even comeback player of the year. Maybe NFC QB of the year. So as far as I see him. That's MVP talk. I want to talk about Baltimore-Detroit. Baltimore looked dominating. Detroit looked bad. It's bringing up a lot of questions. Is Detroit good? Or is Detroit not as good as we thought they were? Are the Ravens better than we thought we were? No, Detroit is not as bad, or is not bad. Detroit isn't awful. They just had a bad game, all right? And the Ravens have a great offense. They've just been on snooze. The Ravens' offense woke up, and I said they were going to wake up. And I said if they woke up, there was going to be an embarrassing game. And it was, because we've been seeing a different Ravens offense all season. It looked like a different offense last weekend. And I think if the Ravens continue playing like that, they should win their division easily. Maybe see them in the AFC Championship. I don't know. Lamar, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, like I said, rookie of the year contention. They got a great offense. Their defense has always been good. We've known their defense is good. We just didn't know what the fuck their offense was at. And their offense finally showed up. And, yeah, I think Detroit's great. Dan Campbell is just – he's Dan Campbell, you know. Dan Campbell's the type of coach that will take his foot off the gas pedal if the other team isn't 100%. And that's what he did, and it bit him in the ass. And that's NFL talk. That's what I have for the NFL this week. Let's move on to the final thing I want to do this week, which is my picks. Let's talk about last week's picks. Like I said earlier, 8-5 on last week. Dude, I was hyped. It was a great week. At the moment, when I was recording, like Florida State -5, I was scared about that. The Clemson under, I barely hit. I barely, thank God, hit. I had under 48, the final score, 48.5. Under 48.5, the final score, 28-20. I hit it by 0.5. It was insane. Washington State +20. I called that one. Lions money line, Packers money line bit me in the ass. Auburn +7 bit me in the ass. Tennessee +9 bit me in the ass. Penn State +5 bit me in the ass. My Florida State over and my Baylor money line were all good moves. It was just a great weekend for me. Let's make some picks though. Let's get it started. Saturday. Kansas State and Houston. Kansas State is a 17.5 point favorite. Houston coming off that rough loss against Texas. Maybe some motivation, some momentum is there on that team. Kansas State, though, is still in Big 12 championship contention. 17.5 is a lot, though. 18, basically. You're saying they're going to win by at least 2 touchdowns. Give me Houston +17.5. I think that's just a lot. You're giving Kansas State a lot. And I think Houston proved that they aren't the best team, but they have a good defense and they can compete. They proved that last week. And I think Kansas State is equivalent to a Texas on a QB2. So I think it'll be a close game. I don't think 17.5 is too much for Kansas State. Give me Oklahoma and Kansas. Oklahoma is a 9.5 point favorite. Kansas is a +280 money line. It's 12 o'clock game. Kansas is a home team. I think Kansas is good, but I don't think they're enough to beat Oklahoma, and especially an Oklahoma team who is still in playoff contention again, and it's competitive, it's close, so I think Oklahoma needs this impressive win over Kansas. Give me Oklahoma -9.5, -9.5. Give me Oklahoma -9.5. I think they should win by at least 2 touchdowns. I think Kansas is great, but +280, -370. It's tempting, but I wouldn't take it. NC State and Clemson. Clemson is a 10-point favorite for this one. NC State is not good, but I don't think Clemson is great either. I'm a big Dabo hater this year. Did anyone catch the Dabo suicide joke? Sorry, I don't know the I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word. The Dabo yourself joke. Essentially somebody asked him if the team had like a sports psychiatrist or something like that. And let's just listen.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, we got him.
What would you say? Some coaches have employed sports psychiatrists. Have you ever done that?
Oh, we got him. We got him. He's probably on suicide watch right now.
Yeah, we got him. We got him. I don't know. Essentially, he just said that his sports psychiatrist was on suicide watch because Clemson sucks. Clemson's bad, and Dabo knows they're bad. And after that one, dude, after that miserable joke. I'm just going to, like, why would you take I don't want it to be a close game. I want NC State to win. Not saying that NC State's going to be an impressive ACC team, but I don't know. This is just me being a hater. Give me NC State +285 on that money line. Yeah, we got him. We got him. Bobby on suicide watch. Just give me NC State money line. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Dabo. Probably not a smart pick. I'd probably fade me on that one, to be honest. If you're not with the Dabo hating community. Moving on to Mississippi State Auburn. Mississippi State is a 7-point underdog. I think the over is 41. This game interests me. I don't think Auburn's great. I don't think Mississippi State's great. 41 is tempting. That's what, 20 points apiece. I don't know. Give me Mississippi State +6.5. I think it'll be a closer game. I think they could win. If not, it'll be close. I don't think 7. Just a touchdown, I think it'll be closer than that. Or it'll be a blowout, and I just look like an idiot. But give me Mississippi State +6.5. And finally, I have BYU in Texas. Texas is a 19.5 favorite, and we saw how they played against Houston. Houston is not as good as BYU. I think BYU saw how they play, and they're going to come to play. And 19 points is a lot. Kind of the same thing I did with Houston and Kansas State. Like, it's a lot of points. I don't think too many points to be favored by. Give me BYU +19.5. I think Texas will win, but we've seen how they play against these not so great teams, and it's always closer than what you expect until the end. Usually they pull off until the end. But 19.5 is a lot. I think, yeah, give me Texas. Give me BYU +19.5. I think it'll be closer than what Vegas has them at. That's college. I don't really know if I want to do any pro. I've been pretty slacking on the pro football. I'll do it though. I'll give you 3 real quick for the week. New England and Miami. I think New England is heating up. I think that win last week. However, Miami needs to bounce back. Give me New England +9.5. I think it'll be closer than 10. If New England loses by anything, it's by a touchdown. Give me New England +9.5. Give me the close game. I think, you know, we don't want to admit it, but I think Belichick is his seat is getting warm. His seat was cool. He was on a cool throne, and now it's getting a little warm, and I think he needs to kind of cool it off a little bit. And I think a close game against Miami will be impressive. And I think Miami always beats New England in Miami. So I think New England needs to kind of break the tradition, kind of get something going. And I think a win over Miami isn't going to change everything. It won't affect the end of the season too much. I think it'll just kind of help Belichick. And I think even if they don't win, it'll be close. I think 9.5 is too much. Philadelphia and Washington. Philadelphia is a 7-point favorite. Give me Philadelphia -7. I think Philadelphia should keep dominating this season. I think Washington's great, but as far as I know, there's no injuries on Philadelphia. I don't know why 7 is like. How are you going to give New England? How are you going to give Miami 10, but only Philadelphia 7? I think Philadelphia should win by at least 10 on that one. I'm not going to touch the over on that one as well. Carolina and Houston. Houston is on a roll. 3.5-point favorites. I don't want to touch that one. I'm not touching that one. I thought about it. I wrote it down. I'm looking at the odds right now. Don't want to touch it. Give me San Francisco and Cincinnati. San Francisco is a 4-point underdog. Or sorry, 4-point favorite. Cincinnati is a 4-point underdog. I'm going to take Cincinnati money line simply because 4 points isn't enough to justify taking them on the points when I can just might as well just hit the money line and have a better odds on that one at +165. San Francisco is good, but there's a lot of injuries, and Brock is great when he has a team around him. Brock isn't great when he has to, you know, carry the team on his back. Indianapolis and the Saints. No, that one's too close. Yeah, I think I'm going to end it at that. I think I'm just going to leave it at that. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. And those are going to be my 3. Yeah, so I'd give you 3, and I got you 3. So let's wrap it up with this right here. Final sheet. This is my sheet for the week. If you're ready, we ran through it. We talked about it. Now here it is. If you just want to skip, just skip to this part right here. This is where you're skipping to. Houston, +17.5. Oklahoma, -10 or -9.5. NC State, money line at +285. Give me Mississippi State at +6.5. BYU at +19.5. And then for the NFL, give me New England, +9.5. Philadelphia, -7. And Cincinnati, money line sitting at +165. That's my sheet for the week. Obviously, we add more throughout the weekend. You can find that, and you can find everything about me on social media. Find us at Twitter, @PodcastKev. I tweet on there all the time. You can find my bets. You can find my parlays. You can find everything I'm wagering on Instagram at GridironJabroni, or you can follow my non-podcast page at KayfabeKev. That's where you'll find all my bets. At Gridiron Jabronis, where you'll find some bets as well. Follow me on TikTok, at Gridiron Jabroni. Follow us on Facebook, Gridiron Jabroni. Don't forget to, hey, I want to hear your fucking takes. Sorry to cuss. I want to hear your takes. I want to hear what you got to say. Send me your takes. Send me your thoughts. Send me text, video, DM, voice message. I don't give a hoot. I just want to hear what you have to say. Let me see. Let me hear it. Send them my way. We'll react. We'll talk. We'll discuss. Follow us. Follow us on Spotify. Review us. All that good stuff. Obviously, I'm wrapping this up. This has been a long episode. Thank you guys for hanging in there. Next week, I'll have the investigative journalism that you need for Northwestern State. We'll have updated Heisman watches, updated MVP watches. We'll go deeper into it. This was a great episode. Very filled. Maybe I'll talk some division standoffs. I didn't even get to the AFC and NFC today. We're getting to the heat. We're getting to the meat and potatoes of football season, guys. And I love it. I can't wait for it. Good luck betting this week. Hey, if I was you, I'd fade me in the NFL. I haven't been too great in the NFL, but I'm going to ride with it. You got to break the traditions. Got to break the traditions. Follow us on everything, guys. I appreciate y'all for listening to the pod. See y'all in episode 8.
Thank you. Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs. kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.